Let's give a good welcome this morning to Dr. Bill Jenkins from Perry, Florida, full-time evangelist. He's one of our favorites around here. I appreciate Brother Bill coming to be with us these days. God bless you, Brother Bill.
Amen. God bless you. What a privilege. If you have your Bible this morning, 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Great to be back in this great church. It's great for the singing. Thank God for the great music this morning. And you blessed our heart. I was reading in the book of the Revelation in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. And every time that the Holy Spirit of God used the pen of the Apostle John to write to the churches there, he closed each one of those letters in chapter 2 and chapter number 3 with a phrase. And that phrase is to him that overcometh. I began to do a little word study on the word overcometh in your Bible. I find out in the book of the Revelation alone, there are 14 different promises to those who are overcomers. So it would suffice us this morning to know who is an overcomer. You've got your Bible open to 1 John chapter number 5. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. And when we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Amen. Let's pray to God. Father, I'd ask God this morning for clarity. I pray God the Holy Ghost would come down and open and illuminate eyes today. I pray God for that soul that's been deceived. I pray for God that one that's been lost, that God they think they're saved. I pray God today would be that day, God, when you would just open and reveal unto them their condition, and that God today they would be saved forever in eternity. I pray God also for those of us who are saved, that God today you would speak to us like never before. God, I pray you'd energize and strengthen our hearts. I pray God you'd renew within us a right fellowship and a right spirit. I pray God for the spirit of revival to break out in North Carolina. And I pray God you'd begin here and spread all over the state. I pray God for thousands of people to be swept into the kingdom in these the last days. Father, we love you and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. If you cannot tell, I get a little excited. I get excited about what God's doing in the world in which we live. I believe with all of my heart, there's never been a day like this day for the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine unto all men. And the reason I say that is because of the darkness in which we live. All around us, vile wickedness is pervading. I'm seeing things today that I never thought I would see in America. Things that we used to talk about in closed quarters are now parading themselves down the main streets of our city. Someone recently made a statement. They said, "Brother Bill, what in the world is our world coming to?" I believe with all of my heart that's not the question that we ought to be asking. I believe with all of my heart the question we ought to be asking is, who is coming to our world? For the Word of God says in the last days, vile wickedness is going to abound. Iniquity, immorality, vile sexual things that you and I really don't even want to discuss are going to come out, and they're just going to begin to multiply. The Bible says in the last days, sin is going to literally be multiplying at a rate like it's never done before. Because of this, the love of many people is going to wax cold. Many are going to fall away from the things of God and from the truth. But those who will remain faithful will receive a special blessing from the God. I want to be one of those that receive that blessing. Amen? I want to be one of those in the last days that is shining for the glory of God. Not only do I believe that these are great days for the truth of the Lord of God, but I believe that the Bible is the greatest book that's ever been written. I believe that, number one, because of its author. Amen? I don't believe the Bible was written by a bunch of guys that got together one day and said, "You know, this make a pretty good thing." I believe with all of my heart that the Bible was written by holy men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And I believe he kept them from error. And I believe the Bible's been preserved to this day and time for you and I so that we could literally turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. I believe that the Bible is the greatest book in the world because of the possibilities that are contained therein. Amen. A A lot of times we read the Bible and we say, man, that's great. That's wonderful. That's what they did back then. That's what Christ did. That's what the disciples did. That was wonderful. And never realize that these are for our example. They have been written for our admonition. In fact, the Word of God says in Romans chapter number 14, these things are written so that you and I would know how to act in these days. Do you know that the Bible says that the things that Christ did, you shall do, and greater than these? Did you know that was in your Bible? Did you know that in your Bible, there is the possibility of living a life that is so contrary to what the world in which you and I live, that when people look at that life, they sit back in total amazement. In fact, the Word of God uses this word in 1 John chapter number 5. It asks the question, who is he that overcometh? And the word by definition, overcometh, comes from a Greek word, Nike. We get our word Nike from it. Some of you have got Nike tennis shoes or Nike sweatshirt. The word literally means, if translated into English, conqueror. And what the Bible is telling you is that in the last days in which you and I are privileged to live, if you so desire, you can be a conqueror. In fact, the Word of God takes it further than that. In Romans chapter number 8, the Word of God says, now are we more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So not only can you win the victory, you can be a victor and a victor to the ultimate extreme. You can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves you. And dear friend, that's a very important thing in this day and this hour in which you and I live. I believe with all of my heart there are a lot of people that are living in depressed situations that have no business living there. I was talking to a fellow the other day and I said, well, how are things going? He says, well, preacher, under the circumstances, I guess we're doing all right. In my spirit, I wanted to scream at him at the top of my lungs, what are you doing under there? Amen. One of the victories that we have in Christ Jesus is that we have overcome what? The world. Amen. But preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, you don't know the victory you've got in Christ Jesus. I'm thrilled to death. I was reading the other day, and one of the writers that I was reading behind was talking about an old man sitting on a front porch of an old house. Didn't have any family, didn't have really all that many friends. You know, he'd been there all of his life. Everybody had moved away that he'd known or they'd died. And here's an aged man sitting on the front porch of his house, and literally the house is falling down around him. And the pastor goes by and he's trying to be nice and he's trying to visit the old man. And he was really going to assess the old man's needs. He said, I got to the house and everything, and there sat the old man sitting on the front porch in the sunshine, and he just smiling from ear to ear. And the pastor says that I walked up to the house, I noticed that the steps were in disrepair. I noticed that I had to be careful not to fall through one of the holes in the front porch. He said, I noticed that the screen door, the hinges were gone and it was just barely hanging in its place. He said, I began to notice that the windows, some of those were cracked, and the house was in a great manner of disrepair. And as I said, and I talked to the old man, I just happened to bring it up. I said, sir, it seems to me that this old house needs a lot of work done on it. The old man said, yes, this old house could have a lot of work done on it. And the young preacher said, well, sir, we've got some men in the church and we'll be glad to send them by and kind of do a little work around here. And the old man said, no, son, said that won't be necessary. And the pastor looked at him and said, what do you mean it's not necessary? He said, I'm not going to be living here very much longer. And he said the old man began to talk about a new place that he had, that had been prepared for him. And it was a spectacular mansion. And the young preacher began to think in his heart, well, evidently some benefactor had come this way. And some benefactor had prepared this old man a beautiful place to live out in the last days of his life. And this man was going to one day live in a mansion. And the pastor's heart began to rejoice in him. And then the pastor asked him the question. He says, well, when do you think you'll be moving? And the old man kind of smiled. And he said, just any day now, yeah. I hope. The pastor began to relate the story in the book and said it began to dawn on him that the old man, while living here in a shack, had a mansion prepared. Amen. And that he had long since stopped thinking about the circumstances of this life. And it began to fix his mental ascent on the great victories and rewards waiting on him yonder. It does not matter what you're going through this morning.
It does not matter what condition the doctor told you your physical body is in. If you are truly saved, you're an overcomer. Yes. This life at its very best is temporal. Yes. Amen. I've been through some things in our life, and we've been through some struggles in our life. And there came a couple of times in my life, I know it's hard for you to believe, when things got bad. I mean, they got dark. It got to the point that I did not think I was going to be able to make it through. In fact, there are several times in my life that I thought maybe this is as far as I needed to travel, and maybe if I just got out of it, everything would be a lot better. But then the light of the glorious gospel of Christ begins to break in. And I understand, I was never meant to live forever. I was never meant to live on the mountaintop all the time. I was born to be one thing and one thing only, and that is an overcomer through Christ Jesus. It's not what I do. It's what I allow Him to do through me. As you begin to look at this passage of Scripture, you find not only the definition of the word overcomer, you also find the description of an overcomer. Notice, if you will, there in the Word of God, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is born of God, everyone that loveth Him, that begot, loveth Him also, that is begotten of Him." And then the Bible goes on further there. And there are three things that I would just want to point out to you that I believe are outstanding characteristics of whom one might be called an overcomer. The first thing that I want to say to you is that an overcomer is one who is living by faith. Notice, if you will, verse number 1, the Bible says, whosoever believeth. Again, in verse number 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? There's two things about this word believeth that you need to get a hold of this morning. First and foremost, it is an active belief. It is not a past tense belief. I know a lot of people today who claim to be Christians. They say that back when they were 12 years old, 14 years old, 19 years old, 21 years old, sometime back in their life, they went forward in a church service, they prayed, they asked Christ to come into their life, they were baptized, now they're sitting on the pew. Come on. Amen. That's not the life of an overcomer. Amen. The life of an overcomer is one who is right now believing God for life, for the day in which He has been made. Not what God has done. Thank God for what He did do. But I want to praise Him for what He is doing today. It is the active tense, not the passive tense. The active tense of the word. And not only that, it carries with it a tense of futuristic belief. Not only am I believing Him for what He's doing today, but I'm going to believe Him for what He's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And I'm not worried about what may come my way. I'm more trusting in the One who is governing all things that come my way. I've come to the place of understanding that if I'm going to be a conqueror, if I'm going to be more than a conqueror, then I'm going to have to live my life trusting in Jesus Christ. Amen. And by the way, that's not trusting in my retirement. Amen. Hello? That's not trusting in my job. That's not even trusting in my family. I've come to the place of understanding that when the Word of God says the just shall live by faith three different times in your Bible, that it means that there has to be an active daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to the place of day by day accepting the fact that I'm His and that I'm going to walk to be pleasing unto Him. In fact, John chapter 8, verse number 31, the Word of God said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." One of the missionaries to the New Hebrides Islands was struggling with the definition of this word belief, trying to translate it into their language. And one of the natives that was there came in and had been working in the field. And he came to a place and he just threw himself down in a chair. Just, you know how exhausted you get sometimes when you're tired? You have been tired, haven't you? Okay, I just thought maybe y'all had left and I had left with you or something. This native was tired and he just threw himself down. And it occurred to the missionary, that was the word he needed. And he asked the native, he says, "What are you doing?" And the native said, "I'm sitting in a chair." He says, "No, no, no, it's more than that. You have cast all of your weight upon that chair, believing that it would hold you up. That's the word I need. That's belief. That is coming to a place of giving everything that you've got over to Him. It's not within your control. It is not within your key. It is coming to a place of saying, God, all that I am, all that I ever will be, is within your keeping. You take control. It is an act of faith. But more than that, it is not only an active faith, it is an actuated faith. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a faith in that I am believing in someone for something. I know a lot of people that make the statement, I believe in Jesus. I know Mormons who will tell you that they believe in Jesus. I know Jehovah's Witnesses who will tell you, I'm believing in Jesus. I know some Baptists who will tell you, I'm believing in Jesus. And yet, their life has never changed. Hello? My Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. Hey, do any of y'all take Alka-Seltzer? Do they have Alka-Seltzer in North Carolina? Y'all all ate enough turkey and dressing to know that they have Alka-Seltzer. Have you ever dropped Alka-Seltzer in water and it didn't do anything? If you did, you probably threw it out. It was worthless. What's supposed to happen is when you drop Alka-Seltzer in water, there's an activity that begins. Amen? There's a movement in the water. There's something that's going to transpire that's going to lead to an ultimate relief, a result that's going to bring you relief. That's the way Jesus is. When He comes into your life, an activity is initiated, and if there was no activity initiated, you didn't get it. Amen. I believe in churches all across America, the church pew is filled with people who got baptized, who joined the church, but they never got Jesus. And why do you say that? Because their life has never been stirred. They've never been changed. They're not active for the glory of God. Nothing's happening. I believe you ought to be having a little life. Amen? Show me something. Amen? Get excited about something. Get excited about life. And for the glory of God. Oh well. I like that. I think that's the way it ought to be. In my understanding of this passage of Scripture, if you're going to be an overcomer, your lifestyle is going to be characterized by a faith that causes you to be active. People that can that fall out of church and never come back, I got a problem with that. In fact, I don't remember now which one it was during the prison epistles. The Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, those that went out from us were not of us. Because had they been of us, they would not have went out from us. Amen. I believe that. I believe the Christian community is plagued by dropouts that never were drop-ins to begin with. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 21 through 23. The Bible speaks of that great crowd on the judgment day who are going to say, Lord, Lord. And the verse number 23 says, and then will I say unto them, I never knew you. I believe if you really know Him, it changes your life. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And most Baptists, we've quit reading right there. But verse number 10 says, but we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to go and sit on the pew and give an offering once a month. That doesn't even say that in the Living Bible, does it? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How do you walk? You don't stand still. Preacher, I'm afraid if we step out, you know, preacher. I just don't see how we can do. Walk is movement, amen. As I'm getting older, one of the things that my dad said years ago is really getting close to my heart. My dad told me, and my dad was kind of, he's a lot older than I am, you know. And he said, son, as long as you're moving, they won't throw dirt on you. If that's true, we can bury a lot of Baptists. Because they ain't been moving in a long time. Now, I'm not talking about emotionalism, okay? I'm talking about a lifestyle. If you're going to be an overcomer, you're going to be walking, moving. You're going to be transgressing down through the pathway of life. And you're going to do it with faith, believing that He is able to do all things. I love Ephesians 3:20, don't you?
Tell us what it says. We'll tell you if we love it or not.
The Word of God says, for He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think.
Don't stop there. According to the power that worketh in you.
That's right.
The reason we don't have it is because some of us don't have that. Amen.
Second characteristic of an overcomer is not someone who just walks by faith, but the Bible says the second characteristic of an overcomer is someone who loves.
Yes.
Listen to what he says, verse number one. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God, listen to this, and everyone that loveth Him that begotteth, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Three things quickly that you've got to love if you're an overcomer. Number one, you've got to love Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about a knowledge. I'm talking about a relationship where you love Him. One of the strangest verses in all the Bible to me is John chapter number 21. Jesus Christ comes to Simon Peter. You remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter, the one that denied Him three times. Simon Peter, the one that was there in the upper room. Simon Peter that Jesus said, you go tell my disciples that I have arisen. And Simon. And Simon was the second one actually to get to the tomb. John beat him there. But then when the Bible says John stopped, Peter went right on by him, ducked down, run in there. He's in the tomb. He's looking. He's gone. He's out of here. He's resurrected. Simon Peter's that one. And there on the seashore that night, Jesus kind of corralled Simon. Because Simon had said, I'm going fishing. And he didn't mean I was going to have a time of recreation. He meant I was going back to my old lifestyle. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at the boat and the net. And He said, Simon, do you love me more than these? Whew. What a question. Can I ask you, sir, do you love Jesus more than you love hunting on Sunday morning? Huh? Do you get excited, ladies, about coming to the church and worshiping about Christ? Do you get as excited about that as you do about going shopping? I was in Panama City over the weekend.
Honest before God.
Thursday night, they're talking about these people that get up And they were in front of Best Buy, and they had their sleeping bag, and it rolled out. And they spent the night on the concrete so they could get them a electronic device for Christmas. Now, I've been preaching for over 30 years. I never went to the church and found somebody's sleeping bag where they had been rolled out on the sidewalk waiting for church to start the next morning. Do you love me more than these?
God blessed us the other week with another grandbaby. Beautiful. Looks just like his granddaddy.
Beautiful. I held that precious baby in my arms. I was looking at that baby. And God said, do you love it? Oh, man, do I love it? Do you love it more than you love me?
I've been praying my prayer life, my personal prayer life. God, I want to be like you. I don't know, something about the closer we get home, the more we want to be like him, you know. And I've been praying, God, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. And about a month or so ago now, we had a break and had about 3 days there. And my daughter, who's a school teacher, she got us tickets to SeaWorld. And we got to carry our grandbaby to SeaWorld and do the Shamu thing. Amen. Oh, you got to see Shamu. And we were there and these people were there. And they were talking languages I didn't understand. I didn't know what they were saying. I thought they was talking about me. It really bothers me. And one of them had the audacity to push my grandbaby away from a place where you took pictures so they could take a picture. And I gathered up my grandbaby. I wanted to be scriptural. I wanted to lay hands on them. Amen. And I'm sitting on this bench with my grandbaby. And I'm upset. And God said, Bill. Yes, Lord. Bill, do you really want to be like me? I sure do, Lord. I really do. I really need to be like you right now, God. If there's ever been a time I need to be like you, it's right now, God. And God said, Bill, I love every one of these people. Even the one that pushed my grandbaby, Lord? Do you love me more than you love these? And then secondly, he says, not only will we love him, we will love each other. Right. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are some Baptists, it's really hard to love them. Amen. It's kind of like hugging a porcupine. There's really not a whole lot of place to grab hold of. Amen. But the Bible said if they're truly a born-again child of God, I need to love them. In your Bible, and I don't have time to go into all this, in Acts chapter number 16, let me just give this to you. You trust me that this is in the Word of God. If not, go home and read for yourself. In Acts chapter number 16, Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. In verse number 22, the Bible says that the jailer's there, and he's been commanded to keep them, and they are beaten. And that's the job of the jailer. He's the one that got to handle the lash. And he's beaten. And he is, man, I'll tell you what, he is tearing them up. Okay? But later on in that chapter, he gets saved. And he's there. And he's washing the wounds. He was an afflictor of pain and anguish. But he became a washer of wounds. Somebody really gets saved, I believe that's what transpires. I've seen some afflictors in the church. Amen. They can handle that lash that comes out of their mouth with great expertise. They can inflict some wounds and walk off gleefully. But if you ever become an overcomer, you come to that place where you're more interested in washing the wounds of others than you are afflicting the pain. And that's what our churches need. Because this county is filled with people that are hurting. Somebody did something to them. And they need somebody that'll come along with a sponge and a non-condemning note. Yes, amen. It does not matter why they are hurting. It does not matter why they were beaten. It does not matter that they have been judged. What matters is that you're willing to come with a cup of cool water. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Amen. And that you love. And then thirdly, not only do you say that you loved God and you loved each other, but you love His commandments. That's the Word of God. And notice this last phrase, the last part of verse number 4, and they're not grievous. You see, there is an obedience, an outward obedience that the world sees. But you can have outward obedience and have inward rebellion. Can I explain this to you? God, in His foreknowledge and wisdom, allowed some things to come into my life. And one of the things that came into my life in the spring of 1972 was an invitation. And that invitation was from the United States Army to come and visit with them for a period of 2 years. And so I went, and I didn't want to be drafted. I joined up. And they sent me to a lush paradise, an oasis, if you will, called Fort Pope, Louisiana. And I got there at the beginning of June in 1972. And I was there in June and July and in August. And I met a man down there who was a drill sergeant who by the name of Drill Sergeant Whitaker. And I wasn't serving God back then. I was backslidden away. But I still had spiritual insight to know that if there was ever a demon-possessed man, that was him. I could look at him. And the way he barked out orders and his eyes glassed over, he's meaner than a junkyard dog with age. That's him. There were times at that camp when I'd be walking along and he'd say, "Jenkins." And I said, "Yes, real sorry. Drop down and give me 50. And I would drop down, and that pavement in Louisiana would be so hot that it would blister my hands. And I would pump out, in obedience, 50 push-ups. But in my heart, there was a rebellion going on. Wasn't any love. In fact, what I was thinking about that man, had they happened to him, it would have been terrible. I know folks that serve God the same way. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And it becomes drudgery to go to church. Now, some of these churches I go into, I understand that. They're dead and they're like, listen, God didn't call you to a funeral. This is a celebration of our praise and worship to an almighty God and a glorious King. I get excited every once in a while and I want to stay that way. If you don't like that, go somewhere else. There are plenty to choose from. He said, "Well, Brother Bill, we've been members of the church for 40 years. Praise God, if anybody leaves, it won't be us." I'm not trying to run anybody off. I just want to say this to you. Church ought to be a place that your kids love to go. And your teenagers ought to go there to see their friends. And if their friends aren't going to church, find out why. Amen. I know people that it's a burden for them to pay their tithes. Now, I don't understand it, but I know people like that. My Bible says over in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. But I believe He loves a cheerful liver too. I believe that it ought to happen every day of your life. I believe you ought to come to the Word of God saying, "God, what can I do today?" Let me illustrate this for you, okay? When I was a little boy growing up, my dad made me do yard work, garden work, house work. I learned to iron by the time I was 13 years old. Amen. I mean, listen, I had to do those things. Recently, my wife and I got to go to Panama City, and they'd had a big windstorm there and everything, and blew limbs down. Oh, my dad's 76 years old. Mom's already gone to glory. My dad's sitting on the back porch, and he's looking at that yard, and man, there's acorns down. My dad believed in keeping a clean yard, okay? I mean, it matters what people think when they drive by and see your house, according to what my dad thinks. And so it really bothered him that those limbs were down there. And he says, "You know, if I had the strength, I'd get up and I'd clean this yard up." My wife and I jump up. We put on our dungarees and we got out there with a lawnmower and a rake. And she had blisters and I had blisters. And we didn't get paid for it. In fact, I'm not really sure Dad even said thank you. He just smiled real big. Man, my heart was rejoiced. I got to do something for my daddy. That's the way it ought to be in our Christian life. If he gives me the opportunity to go out visiting on Monday night, shouldn't I take that? Why have I got to look for an excuse not to go? His commandments are not grievous. My time's just gone. Let me close by giving you, if I can, the defeats of an overcomer. If you'll notice verse number 5, the Word of God says here,
Who is he that overcometh the world? Excuse me. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Three things quickly. Number one, as a child of God, as a complete walking by faith, loving God, others, and the commandments of God, three things I've overcome. Number one, I've overcome the devil. Amen. I'm not scared of him. He is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter number 12. But he has nothing to accuse me with. All my sins are gone. I've shared this all over the country and people ask me about it all the time. Did this really happen? When I was a little boy, about 7 or 8 years old, I got what I refer to as a poor boy's Etch-a-Sketch. Y'all know what an Etch-a-Sketch is? A little red box, got knobs on it, had lines doing that. So you didn't like what you got, you turned it upside and shut. We never had one of those. We had a piece of cardboard. And the piece of cardboard had a man's picture on it. It's a bald-headed man, had his arms down by the side, good-looking guy. And his chest was a piece of silver paper. And it came with a little red plastic pencil. And you took that little red plastic pencil, y'all know what I'm talking about? And you wrote all over it. Man, you write anything. You write your girlfriend's name on there. Where you hid your brother's toys. You write anything you wanted to on there. Pick up the bottom of the paper and let it back down. Miracle of miracles, everything was gone. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you understand that's what happened at Calvary? God had been faithfully writing down every misstep, every vile, wicked thought, every deed. He is a just God. But when I accepted Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life, he reached down and he got the bottom of the page and he lifted it up. And when he let it back down, the Bible says, 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. How many is all, preacher? That's all of them by the glory of God. He can accuse all he wants to. I'm just going to wrap my arms around my big brother and say, Jesus took care of that. Amen. He's justified. I did everything he ever said I did. I did. But I settled out of court. Secondly, an overcomer is not only one who's overcome the devil. He's one who has overcome his flesh. Just because you got saved doesn't mean that all those trials and temptation left. You're going to have the same troubles you had before you got saved. You're going to have the same temptations. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 is still in the Bible. And it says, for there is no temptation that has taken you that is not subject or common to man. Listen to this. But God will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. When it comes knocking at your door, you have a faithful Lord who's going to give you a way out if you choose it. And the overcomer is the one who'll choose the way out. Can I say thirdly to you that the Word of God says here in verse number 5 that the overcomer is the one who's overcome the world. And it's not just the place. It's the system. That system that's constantly trying to conform you into its image. Some of us are not conformable. According to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, we have presented our bodies a living sacrifice to a holy God. And we will not be placed into a mold that accepts everything that the world wants to push on us. We have overcome. And if the world doesn't like that, wonderful Greek word, tough. Amen? Not living for their approval. I could care less if Madonna ever endorses my ministry or not. I want to stand before him one day, and I want to hear him say, well done. Thy good and faithful. World, you don't get to vote.
I may not dress like you, hallelujah. I don't look like you. I don't talk like you. I probably don't smell like you, because I'm living for Him. And in the process of living for Him, I have overcome this world. Three things. Conclusion. I'm through. Some of you done put your pencil away. Okay. All right. Here it is. I've overcome my past. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Settled at Calvary. I'm in the process of overcoming my present. Have I got it figured out yet, preacher? Nah. I live every day by faith. It's amazing what you can wake up to. Amen. I'm talking about stuff come out of left field you didn't even realize was there. Hey, you thought that was gone. What are you talking? Why are you bringing that up? It's coming. But the just shall live by faith. And I'm looking to overcoming my future. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm looking forward to the day when I'm going to be with Him. And I'll have me a glorified body. Amen. And there won't be any more thought of dying or the end of the race or any of those things. All those things will be passed away. I want to ask you a question. Are you an overcomer? No, I'm serious. Okay? I didn't say church member. I didn't even say Baptist. Okay? I want to ask you, in this last week, these last 7 days you've lived, is there any evidence in those 7 days that you have overcome anything in this world? If you're not living the life of an overcomer, how can you call yourself an overcomer? Are you saved? I'm real serious. Do you know today, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that if this is that day, you're going to go to heaven? You say, preacher, I'm just not sure anybody. If you'll read a little bit further in 1 John chapter number 5, didn't have time to get to it. The Word of God says, by these things you can know that you have everlasting life. You see, overcomers are those who've settled it. They're not hoping they're saved. They're not thinking everything will be all right. They don't have a deal worked out with God, okay? They're trusting in Jesus Christ. And if you've not fully cast your weight upon the chair, if you've not fully turned it all over to Him and said, God, it's you or nothing, then, dear friend, on the authority of this Bible, you're not saved. You say, well, I just don't think you want to be. This Bible says, Romans chapter 8, 1 John chapter 5, if the Holy Spirit of God is not on the inside of you right now bearing witness with your spirit that you're saved, you are not saved. You say, I'm not trying to talk anybody out of anything. If you're saved, hallelujah, praise the God, Lord, join me on my cloud anytime. But dear friend, I want to make sure that you know, that you know, that you know you're saved. And if you don't have that assurity, I don't care. You can be a church member for 45 years. If you don't have that assurity, this morning you can have. It is available. It is free to you. You can come take it right now. The Bible says, let him that is athirst come. Let him that's hungry come. In fact, the Word of God says, whosoever will, let him come. You can be saved. Preacher, I know I'm saved. But you just don't know what I'm having to live through. Why don't you give it to God? Why don't you quit worrying about the outcome and give it all over to Him and let Him settle it? Your pastor preaches a message about the potter, the clay. And one of the things that really jumped out at my heart when I was pastoring in Florida, and he preached that series for us, was that they sang that song, the potter and the clay, right before he got up. And one of the phrases in that song talks about him remaking it, but he's got to have all the pieces. The reason some of us fail is we don't want to give Him all the pieces. And if you're going to be an overcomer, you got to give Him all the pieces. Father God, thank You for the patience of Your people God, my heart's burdened. I know there's people right here in this church, God, who are good folks. I mean, God, they've never been bad sinners. They've never been wrapped up in immorality. God, they pay their bills on time. They love their kids. They love their wife, their granny. But God, if you could just pull back eternity for just a moment and let them see their name has never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They joined the church because it was the right thing to do, but they've never been saved. And God, this morning, if they would come and they would trust you, you could save them. God, today. There are others that they are saved. I believe that. But the world looks at them and they say, we don't want to be a Christian if that's what a Christian is like. Because our life is full of defeats. They're downcast and they're discouraged all the time because they're not walking by faith. So God, today, I pray, God, for every pew and for every individual in every pew. Let us become overcomers. Believing in, on, and for Jesus Christ. Loving you. Loving each other. Loving your word. Realizing that we're more than conquerors. Overcoming the devil. Our own flesh and this world. All those things under our feet because of Christ Jesus. Here's my invitation. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. You hear this morning, you said, Brother Bill, pray for me. I'm not sure I've got this thing settled. The Holy Spirit of God began to deal with my heart while you were preaching. I'm not sure I'm saved. I promise you, nobody will come to you. Nobody's looking. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You're here, you say, preacher, just please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking. I want to pray for you. That's all I do. Preacher, pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else. Preacher, please pray for me. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I will not come to you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We've had one adult. Anyone else? Father God, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray, God, for my sister. God, I want her to know that she's saved. I want her life to be transformed by that knowledge. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, don't let the devil or nobody else keep her from coming this morning. I pray when we stand to sing our invitation that she'll be the first one down the aisle and she'll get Brother Billy by the hand and say, preacher, I want to make sure I'm saved. And God, I pray that happened this morning. I pray that even the demons of hell could not prevent that this morning. Every head's bowed, please, every eye's closed. Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not sure I'm living the life of an overcomer. I believe you're a man of God, and I believe you preach the word of God, and I want you to pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You hear like that this morning. Say, preacher, pray for me so that I'll become an overcomer. Raise your hand up quickly. Thank you. All over the house. God bless you. Straight up, straight back down. Pray for me, preacher. I want to be more than I've ever been before. Straight up, straight back down. Father, I pray, God, for every hand that was raised. Every heart that echoed an affirmation. God, I pray in Jesus' name, make them overcomers. What a glorious day in which to live. You've laid the world at our doorstep. Help us to become to this dark world light. Help us, Father, to exhibit the life of an overcomer. I'm praying, God, for every hand that was raised, that they'll come and gather around here at the altar this morning, and that, God, they'll pray for this week of revival, and that, God, this week, you will do more in this church than you've ever done before. And it'll all be for your honor and for your glory. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's dealt with every heart. I believe that. I believe he's a faithful God. I believe everybody here, God spoke to in some way. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you going to respond to the voice of God? Young lady, are you coming to be saved this morning? Are you going to come and get this preacher by the hand and say, preacher, let's make sure that I'm sure. Or sir, ma'am, you as a Christian, are you going to come and get at this altar and ask God to strengthen you daily so you can become more of an overcomer, that you would see results in your life? As we stand together, you make a decision for the glory of God. You come right now. Step out and come. Pianist is playing. In just a moment, we'll sing. But right now, you do what God has asked you to do. Ma'am, are you coming?
No day like this day to settle that. It's time to get it done. It's time to just make sure that you know, that you know, that you know. You come, please. No day like this day. My dear Christian friend, no day like this day. Are you living the life of an overcomer? As you look back across this last week, is there evidence? Yes, preacher. Yes, preacher, I'm living for Jesus. God bless you. May your tribe increase. We need more people just like you. Pray for these here at the altar. Pray for me. Pray that God would let me be more of what He wants me to be. And I'll be praying for you.